Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Thy Son and our Savior, we draw near to Thee humbly and reverently, yet with joyful boldness, because of the encouragement of Thy commandment of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Lord, we confess our deep need of Thyself today. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of Thy mouth. Those that attempt to live without Thee fall into the pit of disillusionment, distress, depravity, and despair. But we thank Thee that we have learned this truth, that we cannot do without Thee. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me, now my Savior, I come to Thee. We pray that every one of us may come to God today in Jesus Christ. We pray that there'll be a real approach to Thee, Thou Holy One of Israel. May it not be said of this people in condemnation that they draw near with their lips, but their hearts are far from Thee. Give us a heart approach today. Give us our God that approach that brings every fiber of our being into unison of purpose and desire, that we might see Jesus. Oh, that we might see the Lord today. We're tired looking at ourselves. We're tired looking at others. We want to see the blessed Son of God. Grant today that we'll see Him in the wonder of His person, in the gloriousness of His work on earth, in deep humility for sinners. May we see Him on that cross, bearing shame and scoffing root. May we see Him laid in the tomb. May we see Him tearing the bars away and rising victoriously the third day, according to the Scriptures. May we see Him ascended to God's right hand. May we see Him in His great work of intercession, in His high priestly ministry. May we see Him in the clouds of great glory, for He is coming again. And we would say today, even so come, Lord Jesus. We're waiting for the trumpet. We're waiting for the upward call. We're waiting for our Lord to come. We pray that You'd bless this land of ours. In all its darkness, in all its superstition, in all its sinfulness, oh God, our God, we pray that Thou wouldst do something in our midst. In wrath, remember mercy. Oh God, stay the oppressor's hand. Defeat the murderers abroad in our province. Remember again this home in Garva that has been so sadly bereaved. Comfort the broken hearts. Put Your loving arms around those that are in the midst of darkness. And may they prove the truth of Thy word, that blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Comfort their hearts today, and make this a day of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. For Christ's sake. And everybody said, Amen. I was greatly struck recently in my own personal devotional reading of the book of Psalm, of the real current of the thought of the shadow of God's wing. We were looking today at the Psalm 17, and you will notice in verse 8 of that Psalm, David says, "Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wing." There is a very interesting little law in biblical interpretation. In order to master the scriptures and be mastered by them, one must keep in mind certain rules and principles of biblical interpretation. If we apply these rules, the Bible will open to us. It will become a book of revelation opened instead of a book of revelation sealed. And one of the most important laws in biblical interpretation is the law of the first mention. And you will find the first mention of the shadow of wings over in the book of Exodus at the chapter 25 and at the verse 20. It had to do with the mercy seat, and we read, "The cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering or shadowing the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubims be." And when we come to the consideration of the shadow of God's wing, we of course have in this law of the first mention, and in the first mention here in the book of Exodus, a golden key which wonderfully expounds the truths which the psalmist links with the shadow of God's wing. Of course, this is an oriental, descriptive, picturesque presentation of God. The psalmist was a shepherd boy. He had studied nature, and he had seen over and over again the mother bird protecting her little one from dangers in the wilderness, from the hawks of the sky, gathering the little birds under the wing and sheltering them in face of danger and in face of death. And oft time as a boy, he had studied the shadow, the covering, the covert of the wings of the mother bird. And then God translated the teachings of nature into the teaching of grace. And the psalmist, as he unburdened his heart, he said, "Oh God, I'm faced with danger. Oh God, I'm faced with death. Cover me in the shadow of thy wing. Let me hide under the shadow of thy wing. Let me put my trust under the shadow of thy wing." But you see, David had a great family heritage. One of the great people in his family tree was a man called Boaz. And one of the great mothers in the family tree was a woman called Ruth. And David often heard his mother and father talk about Boaz and talk about Ruth. And they told David of what Boaz had said to Ruth. And you'll find that over in the book of Ruth at the chapter 2 and at the verse 12. And this was the first meeting that Boaz had with Ruth. And what did he say to her? He said, "The Lord," verse 12, "the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And then, of course, if you go over to the end of the book, you will find the genealogy of David. Verse 21, Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And so as he sat out minding his sheep, he thought of his great lineage. And he thought of the day when Boaz met Ruth. And he thought of what Boaz had said, "Under whose wings thou art come to trust." And I'm sure many a time in life's battle, many a time when the pressures were upon the soul of David, many a time when the going was rough and the road was crooked and its surface scattered with cutting stones, David got great encouragement and strength that he too had come to put his trust in the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. Now let us look at some of the things that David says about the wings of God. We'll look first of all at this Psalm 17 and at the verse 8. And there he says, "Hide me." When a thing is hidden, it is lost to those that seek for it. Isn't it a great thing that there is a place where, as far as the devil is concerned, as far as sin is concerned, as far as the opposition of the devil is concerned, we are lost, for we're hidden in God. I know a place, a secret place, a wonderful place, where I can be hidden from all the temptations and all the oppositions and all the enmity of hell. Where is it? It is under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. Oh, that we might learn that secret place. Oh, to lie forever there. Doubt and fear and self-resigned. Why, he whispers in mine ear, "I am his, and he is mine." Tell me, what does the little bird hear when it's under the shadow of the wing of the mother bird? It doesn't hear the enemy. It doesn't hear the danger. It hears the throbbing of the heart of the mother bird. I think what we need to hear today is the throb of the heart of God's love for us. That love that's so wonderful in its manifestation. That love that constructed a cross and hung upon that cross God's blessed Son, all that God had, he sacrificed for us. Love so amazing, so divine. If you heard more of the throb of God's heart of love amidst the calamities that are around you, you would say more continually, "Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." Then the psalmist goes on, and he talks about the trust that's there. Turn over to Psalm 36 and verse 7. "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God." There's the heart of God. A heart that's filled with loving kindness. I like that word, kindness. Says he'll bring us up from the wilderness. He will speak kindly to us. The loving kindnesses of God. "Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Come away back to Exodus. And there's a mercy seat. What's on the mercy seat? Tell me, what's under the shadow of the wings of the cherubim? There is the blood of atonement. And that, praise God, is where I shall put my trust. In the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday. But so many are not willing to accept the narrow way. While others build on good works, on opinions of the day. Hallelujah! I'm depending on the blood. Let me tell you something. The children of man. Notice the expression. The children of man. Where shall the children of this accursed race find a place in which they can put their trust? You can go to the great shadows of the great cathedrals. You can go to the great shadows of the great religious edifices that dot the Western world. You can attend the most elaborate of ceremonies and rituals. But there is no place of trust for poor sinners there. And when they leave, they are as bankrupt as when they came in. But I have found a place. I have found a refuge. I have found a shelter. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Listen to it this morning. Therefore, that's the conclusion of the matter. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Compare that to Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, Psalm 57, verse 1. O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Notice this here. Until these calamities be overpassed. I'll tell you, there's a great calamity coming upon this old world of ours. It's rocking to and fro this morning like a drunken man. As this age of grace climaxes to its conclusion, we are going to see the greatest of all apostasies. The apostasy! Is there some place where I can hide when the impending doom and calamities shall fall upon this sin-stricken, sin-accursed, sin-soiled, sin-stained age? Yes. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst living worlds, with these array, with joy shall I lift up my head until these calamities be overpassed, the shadow of his wings. And could we not then come to that great text that we have in the final speech of the Moses, the man of God? And Moses, the man of God, has something to say about God's wings. Under the description of the eagle in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11, as the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, and taketh them, beareth them on her wings. And praise God, we shall escape these calamities, for God will see his people through. And one day he shall bear us on the wings of his word away from it all. Away from the clay and away from the soil. God leads his dear children along. Away up in heaven, eternity's day. God leads his dear children along. Some through the fire. Some through the flood. Some through great tribulation. But all through the blood He beareth them up. Tell me, is that where you have your trust today? Under the shadow of His wings. In Psalm 61:4, you'll find another reference. Psalm 61:4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert. The emphasis here is on the covering significance of God's wing. Covered there with His hand. I will put thee, He said to Moses, in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you there with my hand, the covert of His wing. Covered. The word cover is the word from which we get atonement, kaphar. It's first used concerning the ark of Noah when they pitched it within and without with pitch, or they covered it with pitch, within and without. That's interesting, isn't it? For when Noah sat in the ark and the storm was all outside, he looked up and what did he see? He saw the covering. He saw the pitch. He saw the atonement. But when God looked down from heaven upon that ark, it was covered within and without. God saw the very same thing that Noah saw. He saw the covering, the kaphar, the atonement. That's God's salvation. God looks at Christ in sacrifice. I look to Christ in sacrifice. I meet God in a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. The just for the unjust has died on the tree. That's my way to God, but it's God's way to me. The covering of the wings. But there's something more. It's a place of rejoicing. That's a good note in which to end. Let's end on the song, Psalm 63:7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. When we're taken from the horrible pit and from the miry clay, He not only sets our feet upon a rock, but He puts a new song in our heart. A new song. And the seeking sinner becomes a singing sinner saved by grace. And under the shadow of that wing, in the place where the blood is sprinkled and atonement is made, there is rejoicing. But what's underneath the mercy seat? What was in underneath the mercy seat? There were the tables of the law. Written a second time. The first time the tables of the law were written, they were put into the hands of Moses. It was impossible for the law in the hands of a man to remain unbroken. And when he came down the mountainside, he threw them down and they were smashed. For God's law in the hands of man will always be a broken law. There's no foundation there in a broken law. But God wrote them a second time. And when God wrote them a second time, He said, Moses, don't you hold them in your hand. You put them into the Ark of the Covenant. There they will remain unbroken. The Ark of the Covenant is a perfect picture of Christ. And in Christ, God's law remains unbroken. And praise God today, under the shadow of His wings, I'm going to rejoice, because I'm hiding not under only under His shadow, but I'm hiding upon a firm foundation. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless, harmless, blameless Son of God. And in His hands, God's law is totally and absolutely fulfilled. So I'm not resting upon myself or hiding in myself. In the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. Let's take down the harp today. Let's put our tearful and thankful fingers over the silver strings of the harp of divine redemption. And let us today rejoice! And with our imperfect beings, let us join with the more perfect beings of the redeemed glorified in the same song under the shadow of His wings will I rejoice. And what's heaven? It's the place where the tabernacle of God is with man. And what's the promise to the overcomer? He'll go no more out, neither come any more in, but he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's why heaven is one eternal song, because in heaven we shall dwell under the shadow of the Almighty forevermore. Maybe in our congregation this morning, there is someone without shelter, someone without safety, someone without security, and someone without salvation. Oh, today he is to Calvary. I would say to the old sinner what the angel said to Lot. He escaped to the mountain. Look not behind thee. Tarry not in the plain, lest thou be consumed. Never rest, my friend, until you have rested your soul in Christ.